is the same. It's a lie and well. Amen. Let us give him a clap. You know, let's worship God this morning. That's what you came for. So don't waste any time. Amen.
Okay, that's all you got? All right.
He takes whatever you give him, and he will use it. I mean, you want more, you have to give more. It's a sacrifice. The more we sacrifice, the more you empty out, the more he can use. So how much do you want to be used? That's up to you. You have to choose that. Nobody can make you.
So, and that works with everything in life. How happy you want to be? It's up to you. Amen. That's the reason we are here, because he's alive. If he wouldn't resurrect on a Sunday just like this one, there would be no sense to be. And we won't be here, because it would be nothing to celebrate. But the reason that he died and he resurrected, now we can celebrate his resurrection today. Why? Because he's here. He said whatever two and three gathered together. So he's here. The same yesterday, today, and he's here. And he will do the same thing that he did yesterday. He will do it today. But you gotta believe that. We cannot leave it all in Brother Branham. We cannot leave it all in the cross, 2,000 years. He is the same today. So if you have anything today, he's here. In the way of the Holy Ghost, he's here. His presence is here. Amen. He said, with two or three gathered together, I'll be there. So, amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather with the saints of God, the purchase, Lord. Father, not only that, but it's a privilege to be together and in this place that we have separated to meet you, to worship you, to love you, to let you love us, to care for us, Father. Father, we want you to teach us those things that we had to know, to grow, to develop to a mature son and daughter of God and to perfection. Father, we want today that you come, Father, with your spirit and reveal to us what we have need, Father, physically, spiritually, in the naturals, Father, because you care for us. And not only in the spiritual realm, but even in the natural realm. You bless us. You provide for us in the natural and the spiritual. You are all in all for us. Father, without you, we are nothing. So this morning we come in, Father. I want you to take control from the pulpit, Lord. Starting with me, with this vessel, Father of earth, that you can come, Father, and take over. You need to take over. Father, I will set aside, if you do that, I set aside, and whatever you put in my heart, that's what I speak, no less than that. And the same thing with those that are here, Father, the hungry and thirsting for righteousness. So whatever, you know what they have need, you know what they came for, and they will live satisfied, because you are our satisfying portion this morning. Father, we have lack of nothing. Everything that we need is in you this morning. Father, we worship you. We adore you. Father, and now in your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, have your way. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. Thank you, musicians. You can, well, let's read the scriptures and then we can be seated. Let me open my trusty thing, because I couldn't print today or nothing. But the dog left. He took my password. He didn't even put my name in his computer. Well, we're just starting, you know, so kind of building up. I guess I was left behind on the building up. I don't know. The computer said visitors. I can use the visitor, but they put a password too that I don't even know what it is. So anyway, don't worry. Technology, we have more than enough. We can do things. You can scan. I mean, you can do things in different ways. There's many different ways to do this thing. So this morning we're going to talk about, progress, development, maturity. How do we get to maturity? How do we grow to maturity? Okay, so let's read Matthew 19:28. And we just read that one. It's a very familiar. Are you happy to be here?
Amen.
So why are you staring at me? Smile. Are you happy?
Yes.
Okay, tell your face, are you happy? See, I got some smiles on it. And Jesus said unto them, verily I said unto you, that ye which have followed me, how many have followed Jesus?
Yes.
Not yesterday, but today we're still following, right? In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also sit upon 12 thrones. Now he's talking to the disciples, 12 thrones. But she's here.
Amen.
She has to be. He says, also you will sit upon 12 thrones judging. She's there, judging. But she has her own throne next to his own, what? Husband at the time. She's sitting in the throne with Jesus Christ. That's what you don't hear them mention her here, but she's sitting there. In the day of judgment, there will be 12 thrones, and she's sitting with Jesus Christ in his throne. That's a promise. You look at me like, you following me? I mean, I haven't been here for a while, but she's sitting in judgment in that day in his throne. Okay? Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They will judge, the disciple will judge the tribe of Israel, but she will judge the Gentile. Amen. You can be seated then. Amen. Quiet group. What's up here now? Did you get your Wheaties this morning? That is the breakfast of champion. I was told. I don't know. Now for Mexican, it's a menudo. That's the breakfast of champion. That put hair in your chest. I don't think you women want that, but come on, wake up. He's alive and well this morning. Amen. Regeneration. In the regeneration, that word in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne, see, in the day of judgment. Now, that word regeneration, I got here a definition. It is the action or process, because that's what I want to talk about, the process of regeneration, the process of growing, maturity, the process of changing things from what they were to something else. You know, that's what we're talking, regeneration. In the time of that regeneration, when everything has finished, everything has been restored to what they used to. That is regeneration. Renewing, transformation, change. He says, the process of regenerating or being regenerated, in particular, the formation of new animals or plants tissue. Well, that's not only on animals. Anyway, we are the highest thing that it is in the animal kingdom. We are not animals, but we got a soul. But we are the highest thing it is, with the top, or the food change. So, the plants and animal tissue is what we call a cell. That's how things grow. A cell divides, and then it divides, and subdivides, and then suddenly, you know, a baby grows away. Start with a cell, you know, and that cell gets fertilized, you know, germatized, and then it divides, and then it divides, and then it divides, and then it divides. And sooner or later, after 9 months, you have something as ugly as me coming out. Yeah. Here I am, world. Deal with me, right? So anyway, that is what it's talking about, tissue. That's how everything is come forward. It grows, starts a seed, goes in the ground, it dies. The tassels come, and then the plant all the way to the top, and then the fruit, right?
Amen.
Everything has to grow. We are worried about growth. Don't tell me that you don't worry about growing your children. That's what you feed them. And then you have this little measuring thing and tape in the wall, and you measure them every week, every month. I know some of you are looking, you did it, I did it when we were. Yeah, we want to make sure they got growing. Not only that, but we want to make sure that they're getting what they need, nourishment, so they can grow. The cells has to change, transform. They have to grow. They have to divide. Some die. The skin dies every day. The top layer. And then the new ones push from the inside to the skin layers. So where are the dead skin goes at? Well, in your bed. The mites, it's your skin. Yeah, that's not this morning, but I say that because my wife cleans the bed every before we go to bed. She takes the sheets and everything flies around. You know, and she says, look at all that. I say, yeah, I don't see anything. I don't want to see anything. You know, no, because if I go, I'm going to start itching. Well, it doesn't matter. But everything has to die. And new cells comes in. Your brain is dying. The only thing, you have so many trillions of cells that you're not going to miss one or two. But they're dying. And, you know, when you get to my age, you forget things. Things are dying there. Memory cells. You know, that had a bunch of stuff in the storage there all these years. Now I don't know where they are. So we worry about growth. I mean, you go to the store and you don't buy just anything just to eat so you can grow. We are in a time, you know, of technology and knowledge. And we like to look at everything that we put in our mouth, right? Why? Because you need growth and you need the right things to grow. I went there one time. I was in El Paso, Texas. That happened a long time ago. And I wanted to eat banana pudding. I had a craving for banana pudding. I don't know why. So I look at the can, and it says artificial flavor, artificial color. And I don't even have banana. It has apple pieces. I said, my goodness, I put all these toxins in my body. I'm going to have to, you know. That's bad, you know, because everything today is artificial. That artificial this. So you go to the store and you look at everything. Why? Because you want to make sure you get the right things in your body, in your children's body. You want to eat well. You want to eat healthy. Why? Because it promotes growth, right? That's the only reason we're eating. Unless you're just like me, I just eat to live. Some people live to eat, but anyway, and some of us eat to grow. Anyway. So don't tell me that in the natural you don't worry about growth, growing, developing. Even your children at school, they send you every quarterly, they send you a test to see where they are. Have they learned the material for the first month or two? Where are they? They give them a test. In the university, they give you a test to assess your level of what of understanding to that point. And then they send it to you and you know, you got a C, a B, whatever. Yeah, you met the requirements, you didn't meet the requirement. Now the teacher said, I'm going to have to backtrack and I have to hit this one again because they came too low. So that means either I made it, I didn't teach it well or they did not what? Pick them. But they need to because they cannot further move forward until they get this material because this is building up. Cells build. And you, if you don't understand this, excuse me, if you don't understand here, you won't be able to do this. If you don't know math, you will not do algebra. And if you don't know algebra, you know, everything's built from arithmetic. That's the first one, then math, then trig. But you're still using numbers, 1, 2, and 3. You're still going 1 plus 1 and 2 plus. You're still doing a lot of divisions, a lot of multiplication. That you learned that in fifth grade, sixth grade. So everything builds step by step. So when we are growing, we worry. Our children are doing well at school. They send you a report card, you know. And whatever they get, they tell you how well they assimilated the what? The lectures for that year. Or they learn their curriculum. You know, you that you know, you homeschooling, you have a curriculum. And you test. You need to know exactly where they are at a certain point because you cannot further progress until they get that. You know? So we worry so much about in the natural. What about in the spiritual? Do you know where you are now? There's a way to find out. And that's what I'm going to teach you today. There's a way to find out where you are. Because if you don't know where you are, you don't know where you're going. And if you don't know where you're going and what direction you're going to go because you don't know where you are, you know, what, you could be standing on the Word. You could be standing on the Bible. You could be standing on the message of the hour. But if you don't know what direction to move because you don't know where you are, you know you're standing in the Word and the message. But where are you going? You know, towards the vision, towards the goal. And there's some steps to get to that goal. Where are you at? Now, you said, nobody can know. I trust God. But you go ahead and trust God. We all got to trust God. And you can leave the status quo. I go up to church, I check a box, I go home, I read my Bible. And that's it. You don't want to know if you are growing or not. You worry to grow in the natural. What can you worry to grow in the spiritual? But that's for God to worry. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to show you that is for you to choose to know. You know, Brother Branham came and said one time about this black woman. She said, I'm not what I used to be. Okay, but that's grow. I know one time I was this before my conversion. I was this. But now I'm not that no more. So something must have happened. How did she know where she was at? She knew it was on growth. Why? Because she's not doing the same thing she was doing before. Something happened, a change. But she said, I don't know yet what I am or going to be, but I know that I'm not what I used to be. So she has some measurement of where she was from the beginning to the end. And you have to do the same thing. You need to find out, okay, I'm not what I used to be, but where are you at? How close you are to the goal. The army gave me a lot of goals and objectives. That's a vision, and that's a goal. Go. I needed to know exactly what I was aiming to. Not only that, but I needed to know how to get there. I had to get some goals, step by step by step by step by step, until I, you know, get to the goal. But the Paul says, you know, we continue towards the what? The mark. What's the mark? The goal. Jesus Christ. That is our goal. That is our vision. I want to be like him, but do you know how to get there? What good it will do to know that is my goal and I don't know how to get there? That's why we come to church. I need to let you know how to get there. I need to instruct you. I need to show you. I need to share what God shared with me so you can make better decisions as to what you're doing with your life. You do with your children's. You learn every day. You want to make better decisions for you, for your children, for your family, for everybody. So what about the family of God? You following me? This is important because I believe that we need to progress to the goal. How do you know if the rapture happened today, how do you know you're ready, that you are there where you're supposed to be? How do you know that you have everything that God requires for you to be there tonight, if he comes tonight? How do you know you're there? How do you know? You guys are quiet. Because, you know, my voice is different. My frequency is different. You know, I got an accent. So some of you already know me because you've been here long. You know what I know when you don't understand? You go like this. Yeah, you make that face like, what? Then when I see your face like that, I back up and I repeat it again in another way. So when you hear me repeating, it's not because I want to repeat. I don't forget what I said. It's just that you don't understand. So when I see the frown in your face, then I know that you didn't understand what I said. You didn't follow me. That's how I had to make some kind of way to determine if people are getting my thoughts, my idea. So when your face is relaxed, I know we are okay. Anyway, growth. So how do you know when is the time to cross the river? But Brian says, I don't want no problem. You know why you can avoid the problem if you know everything is all right when you get to the river? So how do you know that everything is all right unless you know where you are? Are you ready to die? I mean, that's another thing you have to you know, think about it. Because when the time comes, it's not time to think about it. Some people do. You know, the Bible said that we're already dead. But that's just what the Bible says. What do you believe? Are you ready? You don't know until you get there. But are you ready? It's what I'm saying. You got to be ready. You cannot wait until the storm comes just to protect your house. And the Hurricane Maria came to Puerto Rico. You cannot wait when the storm, the eye of the storm is in the middle of the island. Now I'm going to blow out my house. It's too late to prepare. You need to prepare now. So know where you are. Know where you go. Make the step. Meet the requirement. And make sure they're acceptable by the will of God. And then you know that if you die that night, you'll be fine. That's why people are so scared today. Because they don't know where they are. And they are up and down because if I die tonight, I'm ready. I don't know. Oh, is there rapture? Don't be worried about it. Are you ready or not? So what is the requirement? Where I should supposed to be? Strong definition of regeneration is a rebirth, a spiritual rebirth. See? It says a spiritual renovation. We are going, this is getting old, but there's something in me that is being renewed. Every day. There's a renovation. I should wear a tag, you know. Like an old building is in renovation. It says renovation. It says, regeneration. Hence, renovation. Regeneration, the production of a new life. I like this one. The production of a new life consecrated to God. A radical change of mind. I like that word. Call me radical. I am radical. Let me tell you what the definition of radical is so we're in the same. Radical means, let me see if I put it here, over here. Relating to or affecting the fundamental nature of something. See, I'm radical. Because God in me is changing my nature. So it had to be a radical change. It's not a kind of a passive change. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm a believer. No. A radical change is happening of nature. That is regeneration, renewing. It's a radical change. It says also, of forming an inherent or fundamental part of the nature of someone or something. All it's saying is there's something inside, inherent, inside that is making a change. But it's a radical change. You guys don't look radical to me this morning, but that's all right. By the time we get done, you might get radical. I don't know. You know, I used to be at work on Honeywell. I used to be, the people call me, you're staticky. Static. You know, you know what static is? When you rub your feet on a alfombra, whatever. Yes, and you touch the doorknob and something goes, and then you hurt. Spark. See, you got de-energized. See? I was always that way before Jesus met me. Then I was radical. I came from being static to being radical. See? Before I used to be discharged every time I found somebody that I don't like, I would discharge on everything that I wanted to say, everything that I wanted to do. But I don't discharge anymore. Now I want more. I want more. I want to be built up. I'm radical now. See? Something in me, there's a power in me that is changing me. You know, from glory to glory to glory, it's changing me. I just want to know where I am. I always needed to know where I am, and today I need to know where I am. Why? Because I know how far I have gone or how far I need to go from my goal. You know, I'm not getting younger, so I better make sure that I'm getting closer. Now, you might don't worry too much about it. You're young. That's all right. It will come the time that you will worry, like I did. It says, the word often used to denote the restoration of things to its pristine state. Now, how many of you been in a car accident? Just three of you? Okay, thank you for the rest. When you have an accident, the insurance will assure you that they will restore your auto or your vehicle to the time before the accident. You know, not before. You might have a bunch of dents like me and a car broken. They're not going to fix that. Only the part to the pristine, you know, state before. So before Adam fell and all creation fell, now he's restoring me back to that state. The state that I was before with him in the foundation of the world. That is what I want to be restored to. That is what I'm being regene. Regeneration means regene. Regene means a gene. A little bit here, a little there, a step here, a step there, word here, you know, a little bit at the time. You're getting regene. But that's the gene of God. So, restored to what? To what I used to be in his mind before the foundation of the world. He said, it is a renovation, it is a renewal, a restoration of life after death. See, we don't die. Who said we die? We don't die no more than God can die. Right? This had to die, but there's something in me that will never die. Okay? So once I will be restored to that, that is my faith, that is my hope. I'm looking towards that, to a full restoration of what I used to be. This is not me. Me is inside, in my soul, that little seed that God put in there. So in Matthew 19:38 says, Jesus replied, again, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne. Now, new. Something was restored. You know that this world is going to be restored? Only thing we're looking is for fire. And it has been three steps. What? First, water, fire, and what's the next thing? The Holy Ghost. Justification, sanctification, and what? Holy Ghost. And then the person of the Holy Ghost. So God has steps to restore things, not only the world, but he has steps and stages that he goes through us, you know, slowly. Now, when you get the Holy Ghost, that's not the end. That is the beginning. Because now the Holy Ghost is going to mentor you to the end of the regeneration. He's going to take you all the way where you're supposed to be. He's the mentor. He's the one that made the world God live in you the way it's supposed to be. So he says in Matthew 19:38, many you and the Son of Man sit upon his throne. You who has been my followers will also sit on my 12 thrones. So regeneration is making things new, like it used to be before the fall. Okay? I want to know what's the process and how to get there and what I am. Now, let's talk about this process. Romans 1:18-20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. That's people that... It's getting warm over here. It says, unrighteousness of men who hold the truth on unrighteousness. That's unbelievers, right? Amen. Yeah. Because we don't do that. No hooks in here. Okay. He said, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. Oh, there won't be no excuse. Because everything that you need to know of God is manifested. Where? In them. You know, they will be judged by what they knew, what they learned of God in them. Because God created them. Don't you think God put a little print in there? Yes, put a little chip in there. So, what happened? He says, in them, he says, for God had showed it unto them. How did God show? Nobody will have excuse. How did God show things? See, people can learn of God. By what? Well, listen. But inside them, you know, inside them is what? The heart, the mind. You know, man knows that killing is bad. I don't care if you're a Christian or not Christian. You know where you learn that? You learn it at home. All that they put in you in the beginnings. See? They instructed you, stealing, adultery, killing, you know, false testimony.
You know, all that was engraving then when they were growing up. And then, not only that, but the law says, thou shalt not kill. You know why? Because it's based on the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not worship idols. You know, all that is in the Bible. But you don't need to read the Bible. In fact, you don't even have to look at the Bible because all that is in you. I mean, don't tell me that the first time you tried to steal a candy out of the store, you wasn't nervous. I was. Okay, you didn't, but I tried to. Why? Because something in me says, I'm going to get caught. I'm not supposed to be doing this. Yeah. My mom is going to, you know, my dad is going to just peel my skin off. See, nobody had to tell me that it was wrong. If it was right, why would I was nervous for? Nobody has to tell you because in you, it is engraved in you already by God. When he made you and when he made the creation, I don't care if it's you or me or anybody, Christian or not Christian. He says, but this, it don't stop there. He says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world. So invisible things, but let's see, are clearly seen. Oh, the invisible God is clearly seen. How? He says, being understood by the things that are made. The creation tells every day there's a God. There's an intelligence. You don't have to read the Bible to know that. You know there's a higher intelligence that make everything that is around you. You don't want to call him God, that's fine. But you know there is one. Even his eternal power, see? The creation, you know, the universe, day by day, he proclaimed his power, his creation, his intelligence. And also he said, and the Godhead. See, who is the Godhead? We saw the Godhead, Jesus Christ. They might not want to accept Jesus Christ, but that was the Godhead in flesh. So that they are without a what? Excuse. So, in this process, there's no excuse. Christian, non-Christian. I'm getting to a point here. So what I want you to know is this. There's two versions. You can know of God, or God can know you. I want you to follow me because all this makes sense at the end. Everybody will know of God. And you can go so far with knowing of God. You can learn from the creation. You can learn from the stars. Let me tell you what happened. You can learn from the zodiac. You can learn from the archaeology, astronomy, archaeology, any kind of science, even historians like Josephus. You can learn about God, of God. How? Well, what happened to the magi, the wise men that found Jesus? How do you think they found them? The stars. That took him to them, right? And you can be taken to Christ. The Godhead. Okay? So there's no excuse. Nobody told me about Christ. Everything points down to Christ. Even the stars. Okay. So what happened when the wise man got and Herod said, what are you looking for? We're looking for the king that is born. Didn't you see the stars? No, I don't do stars. But they did. Because the first Bible was written there. And the second Bible was written where? In papyrus, in paper. So what did the high priest and the scribes went to do? They searched the what? The scriptures. And then they told Herod, yes, they're right. Well, that's two Bibles there. See? One written in the sky, one written in paper, and the other one is Enoch wrote in the pyramids. We're not going to go there. I'm not making no doctrines. I don't know no these. See, but there's more than one way to know of God. I want you to know that. Because that will take you so far. But you need to know God. And God needs to know your name. That's two ways. The reason I'm saying this is because there's going to be a transformation. But a transformation has to do with a regeneration. And not everybody will be transformed. Okay? But people will conform. We're gonna get there in a minute. That's what I'm
giving you this base. Psalm 19:1-4, the firmament show his glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. Day unto day outer speech. Wow, I hear voices. Oh, yeah. You don't have to hear voice. Your eyes can see. Everything is out, you know, talking about a creator. It says, day after day, see, and night, and unto night. Oh, my. God is always talking through his creation. So there's no, it says, not showing his knowledge. See? And a speech, nor language. See, there's no language. You don't hear a voice. You don't hear if it's English or Spanish. You just know. Something is teaching you something. It says, no language where their voice is not heard. You don't hear the voice of God. You don't see him because nobody can see. Nobody can hear. Nobody can feel or touch. But you know there's a God. Why? Because you see it in the creation. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. There's no excuse. He says, in them had he set a tabernacle for the sun. That's the psalm. Now, let's continue. What are the four stages that I'm talking about? Because God works in threes. That's how he perfect himself. So let's start looking at this process. Now, remember those two, that concept. Know of God and known by God. That's two different things. So, but keep that in mind because I'm going to get there. So, in order to explain this, I just told you that God, you can hear his voice and you can see his wisdom and knowledge through the creation. But let's talk about the butterfly. That's an animal. That's a creation. And the butterfly has four stages. You know? The butterfly has four stages of metamorphosis. You know what that means? Transformation. It starts with an egg, right? And then the next stage is the pupa, P-U-P-A, that's how you pronounce it, I don't know. And then adulthood, back again to the cycle. It's just a vicious cycle. That's what we are. We get up in the morning, we eat breakfast, you know, we go to work. We eat again, we go to the bathroom, it's a cycle. You know, you eat, I have to come out, it's a cycle. And then you go to bed, you go to bed, and you get up in the morning, and you do it all over again, right? And you do this every day. It's just a vicious cycle, it's not a vicious cycle. But if you put the Bible and prayer in there, then it's not a vicious cycle, but this is just a natural cycle. You know, butterflies, animals, they all go to the same cycle. I can look at there. It's just a cycle. A plant just goes down. The seed grows, fruit, die. The fruit comes down. Another seed and the cycle and the cycle. But one of these days, the cycle is going to stop. Because that's what I'm looking for. One of these days, this is going to stop and something else is going to come out. I don't have to die anymore and go back to the ground. We are not going to the ground. The bride of Jesus Christ is the last part. Peace or this puzzle. And she's not going to go down. She's going to go up. So she don't have to fall down like all throughout the ages, the 7-8 churches. You know, it's a cycle. A cycle. The butterfly and anything in life go through cycles. Because God created it that way, see? Brother Branham one time convinced a guy about accepting Jesus Christ after he talked to him about the tree and the sap and the cycle of life. And he asked him, what do you think? Who's doing that? The creator. See? It's a cycle. So we can see God in the creation. And there are four stages of this, the butterfly, and I want to use that as a sample. So here we have, whoa, I touched it too. Pre-production. Okay, here we go. So the egg, you know, you and I, the same way, we start with an egg. Well, the women have eggs, and then they get fertilized, germatized, and that's how you came from, an egg. That's how life starts, right? An egg. That's why we celebrate Easter, if you didn't know that, and why that's why they have an egg. Because it's the springtime where everything comes alive, and how everything starts? With an egg. You think that was just somebody made up, a rabbit and an egg? Now, the rabbit, I don't know. Because rabbits don't lay eggs. I'm puzzled on that one. like chickens do eggs. So start with an egg, and the butterfly will lay the eggs on the plant, you know, the female butterfly, and then it becomes a caterpillar, see? And that is the feeding stage. Now listen, this is how God's work. That is the feeding. So now when the baby's in the womb, what? It's nutrients, and mama is feeding stage. Until what? Until he keeps growing. Growing, growing. We are in the feeding stage. Almost at the end of a feeding stage. I'm feeding you. God is feeding you the word. Because he's regenerating you. This old thing is gone. You have a new thing, and it has to be what? Slowly. It's a process. Step by step. Cell by cell. Word by word, step by step, status by status. So, we are in the feeding stage, but I'd like to let you know that we are almost at the end of the feeding stage. You know, this world is going to go one of these days. But we know that the Bible says she's rocking and like a woman in traveling for what? For pain. She's pregnant. See? And one of these days, when the pains start, what happened? You know it's what? It's getting closer. Don't you fear the pain on you? I'm tired and sick and tired of this guy. I am sick of being sick of being sick of this guy. I'm ready to come out. I want to come out. I am the shell, the egg that God is reproducing himself. Inside this thing that you don't see him, one of these days, this is going to open up. In the day, it's going to come out. But see, when the pains get closer. Now I'm giving you a clue. Where are you? You're not what it used to be. You know what you want to be. But where are the pains? People don't even have pain to come to church. I'm not getting on people that come to church. But you know, when you got pain, you want to go someplace, you know, you go to the doctor, the women there, give me something for the pain. You know, God, I need you. I want you. I want more you. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. Please take this pain away. The pain of what? The pain of being locked up in this house. I want to get out. Don't you want to get out? But that we are that close. How close? How is your pain? How is your pain for the things of God? How is your desire, your craving for the things of God? Are they greater than the world? You got to make that decision. I got to make a decision. I know what I am when I find myself craving for him. Not for the things of the world. See, the egg, the feeding stage, that's why we come to church. You cannot feed yourself. You seen a baby feeding himself? No, you got to feed them. When they come out, you got to feed them. You know, they don't know anything. Okay, they learn after a while, and then learn how to feed themselves, how to read the Bible, how to pray. They still got to be fed. This is the feeding place. So people don't see that, but I got a revelation. Sorry, this is my feeding, my pond, you know, the school where I come and get fed. It says, the next stage is the larva or the pupa. That is a transition stage. Because it's grown far enough, now it's time to transition to what? To adulthood. We are in a transition right now. See, we have been fed for 20, 30, 40 years. It should be able to produce something. Because God is not wasting his time. He's making me, shaping me, forming me to the image that he has at the beginning. And that one has to come out. The transition. That's where we are. I already grown. I used to be a baby in Christ. I'm not a baby anymore. Paul says, you know, one time I was a child and I acted like a child. But I'm not a child any longer. So where are you at now? Well, I'm an adult. He has transitioned. I'm in the transition now to go back to what I came from. How am I going to get there? Well, the Word, the Holy Ghost, is going to take me there. He's my mentor. He's my teacher. He will show me things. He will tell me things. You see, when we are sensitive to the Holy Ghost, He is the mentor. He is the one that transitions you using the Word and the Holy Spirit, transitioning you to adulthood. One of these days, this thing is going to peel off, come out, and I'm going to become an adult. But let me tell you this. Before you become an adult, you're this close to become an adult. You're almost an adult. You are almost an adult. So you should be asking like a, you know, acting like an adult. You don't have to wait to go to heaven to be complete and to have power and to have a change. Once you get closer and closer, the closer you get to that, something is going to happen. It's going to be a demonstration before we leave here because we are that close. You should be feeling that closeness with Him. The closer you get to Him, the more Him and the less of you. Something has to be happening when you get in that transition, and you should know where you are. Am I manifesting the Word of God or not? Well, how close you are of being an adult. What is the transition telling you? How long you been in the business? Well, don't call this a business, but how long? I've been here about 30 years since I started in this message. Before that, I was with the Baptist. So if I had to point somebody, it would be me. Where I am, I look at myself all the time. Where I am? Well, let's look at the results of my life. Compared with what the Bible and the Holy Spirit said, where I know where I am. You know that in the last days, and we in the last days? We're not waiting for last days. We are in the last days. So the transition must be getting where? Closer to the change. Transition means closer to the change. The rapture, we're getting closer to getting out of this cocoon. We've been eating a lot. Now we are in the transition stage. Well, and then the reproduction stage is the last one. You have been reproduced. You know who you are and where I am? I'm a reproduction of the one that went down. We are a reproduction of Jesus Christ. Right? Because He went down. The seed went down and He produced more fruits. One went down and you know, just like a corn. You know, one corn goes down and how many you get in the thing? I don't know. I counted one time. I forgot anyway. So we are a reproduction of the one that went down. So that's how close I am. See, I've been regenerating. This process, it's been going on for at least 30 years in my life. You know, since I accepted the Lord and He found me and He drew me. See, if you want of Him, you will be drawn and you will be, He will be finished a work that He started in you. But we are in that transition to the rapture. That is my last move that I'm going to make here. Working process. I am a working process. You heard that word, right? See, people look at you and you say, well, be patient with me. I'm a working process. But where are you in that working process? You know what? People said that one thing we had to do as long as we're in this body, so we're going to say, we're sorry. Now, I'm going to give you a key here. Count how many times you said you're sorry. Just keep it tally. And the closest the transition gets to who you supposed to be, who you are, you will say sorry less and less. Because the more you have knowledge of Him, the less you want to be sorry for doing things that you're not supposed to do. The longer you progress and you grow and you understand what He wants, is the less mistake you will make. I didn't say you will make mistake, or it will be, you will say sorry and sorry less and less and less and less until you won't have to say sorry anymore. You said, that's not biblical. Yes, it is. James says, a man that can control his tongue is near what? Perfect. Amen. See? Just buy your tongue. Before you say something, think about it before you say it. It's in the scripture. This is against God. No. See, if you can control your tongue, you can be perfect. Oh, I was going to say women's going to have a hard time, but I'm not going to say it. No, there are some men that like to the witty too. You know what? The closer you get to him, I'm going to show you tonight, you can control yourself. He can control you more and more. And the more you can be controlled, the more you can control, you know, that's an election you got to do, the less you got to say you're sorry. Because the one that cannot offend indeed, see, the less you're going to offend. Listen to me. Listen to me. The less you open your mouth, the less you will offend in word. That's what the Bible James says. So if I'm not sure what I'm going to say, I better just keep my mouth shut, brother. But if I know that God gave me something and I need to say, I will open my mouth. In the meantime, I keep my mouth shut what he keeps it, and I open what he opened. Don't go any further. We like to assume a lot. Anyway, let's leave that there. Working process. Now, I remember my aunt. I had to share this with you. I don't even know what time. I don't have my time here. Let me look at my, it's 11:51. Wow. Okay. Back to what I was. Technology. Okay. I'm going to make this faster. Anyway. You know what a butterfly kiss is? Have you heard that? I'm going to show you, mother, so you can do it to your children. My aunt, when I was a child, my aunt will come and visit us. That's my father's sister. My father just died this year. My aunt is still living. She's older. She's about 98 now, and she's still moving and going. I mean, that woman, you cannot stop. Lila, that's her name. I mean, she's just 98 years old, and she's just going. Like the energizing battery. I don't know. Well, is that somebody has to turn the switch, but I tell you what, she used to come and visit us when I was younger. And the first thing she will do, she come and get her face close to my face, her eyelid. She will get it real close, and then she start moving it fast like this. And that embarrassed me a lot. This is a grown woman, and, you know, now I learned today, studying, that's called a butterfly kiss. I didn't know that. To give a butterfly kiss, all you have to do is move your face closer to your partner's so that you eye are almost touching and flutter your eyelids rapidly so your partner feels like he is or she is being kissed by the delicate wings of a butterfly. I'm going to have to apologize to my aunt when I go back to Puerto Rico. She's still alive. See, I didn't know that's what she was doing. Now, mothers, when you kiss your child to bed, give him a butterfly kiss. That's what it is. Anyway, I learned something. You learned something. But anyway, for your information, had nothing to do with the preaching. What are the four stages of the Christian? I got to move on. The four stages of the Christian, for the transformation of a Christian. Salvation, justification, sanctification, born again. Then the person of Jesus Christ. Now, salvation. If we count salvation as a first step, that's the egg. I mean, you have to have an egg. You got to start with something. So let's see, salvation is the first step. You know, God found you. God found you and germatized you. You know, that's the egg. He put something in here. And then he went and germatized it. And says, and that's the first step, becoming a new creature. See? You became a new creature. Now you come to justification, which is the feeding stage. You know, you start reading, you start enjoying, you start coming to church, you're happy, you never felt this way. No, now you come into church and now you're feeding the word of God. You're hungry. A baby's always hungry. That Aaron, he always screaming. You have to give him a bottle because when he's hungry, he screams. It should be a lot of screaming babies here, Brevan says, you know, babies. You know, it says, then justification is the feeding step, to know God. You know, we want to know more about God. See? We want to know. That's the hunger. That's the thirst. I want to know more because he just saved me. I'm on fire. You know, some people grow out of that. I never have grown out of that. He said, then sanctification, which is the cleansing steps. You know, the word. The more you hear the word, the more it cleans you. It cleans you. That's the next step, the next phase. Because what God wants to fill you, he don't just call you just for you have to fun and have, you know, I don't care about running down the aisles and screaming and shouting. I like that. But if that's all it is, that's not going to produce anything. That will produce a happy Christian.
But I want more than a happy. I want a change. Sanctification, which is the cleansing step for service. See? God called you for a reason. Not just to hear and be happy. That's part of it. But he wants to do something further with you. Then the Holy Ghost, which is the transition. That's where we are. That's our mentor. Since we received the Holy Ghost, we started our transition to adulthood. See? That is the last stage. We have been reproduced again. We started with salvation and then a full, mature, perfect man. Ain't that what we are doing here? Is that what Ephesians says? To bring you to what? To what? To maturity, to perfection. We need to bring you to a point where you are an adulthood. I don't have to tell you to come to church. I don't have to tell you to stop that. I don't have to tell you anything. You have become a what? An adult. You have been reproduced. Now you are Christ in flesh again. Now your mind is no longer your mind. You lost it in the transition. You became a new person, a new creature. You don't think like you used to think. Now you think like he think. See? Your mind is Christ. That's what we want to take you to. That is what all is this about. We are transitioning. We are regenerating you. We are regenerating you, renewing you, the Bible, to bring you to your new self in Christ Jesus. I'm sick of this old self. This is getting old. But something in here is getting renewed. That's my hope. So that is the stage. Now, Ezekiel 36. I have to ground you to the Bible. I cannot tell you what I think. I cannot make comments and share my ideas. If I don't ground you to the Bible, you leave out of here, oh, that was a good sermon, but that's it. It will not take root. You got to be grounded. This is what Ezekiel says. A new heart also I will give you. See? I give you and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. He says, and I will put my spirit within you. See, this is the part where things are changing. See, this is the part where you are not your old self. You are being transformed. You are being changed. God is doing certain things. When you came to God, the first thing he changed was your heart. Why? Because you could not even love me or love yourself or love anybody. Your heart needed to be changed. And then your spirit, not his spirit, the spirit, your spirit, you got a spirit, body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit, your attitudes come from your spirit. Who you are is your spirit. That had to be changed because your attitude was rotten, selfish. Something had to change that. You cannot approach God with no selfishness. So he had to change your spirit. Then, sanctification, then he will put his spirit on you. Why? Transition starts. Not that you got this and you got this. Now we can work on you. So Ezekiel says, and I will put my spirit and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you cannot do what God requires from you. The Holy Ghost is an essential part of the steps. We preach the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not the only thing, but it's an essential step in your formation, in your transfiguration, in your change, in your transformation. Brother Branham says, their attitude has been changed from that time. Brother Branham says, their attitude has been changed. The hardness that was in their heart was melted away. Didn't you feel that way when he touched you the first time? Like something just melt you down. It was a meltdown. He goes, he lied, you know. And then he started bringing something else. He says, it was a melt away. A sweet peace and divine love has taken its place. See, I'm not what I used to be. I know what I am right now. I just want to know how far I am. He says, sweet peace and divine love taking his place. So you still get irritated? Do you love your brother? I mean, you can love God all you want to, but the test is, do you love me? Because if you love God, you have to love me. If you don't, you're lying. See, that is the test. We're going to go through all this tonight. Because you will know. There's a lot of
test you can do. He says, granted, Father. Now he says, fellowship with God through reconciliation. He says, the divine nature changing, transformation, regeneration. He said, the divine nature changing your own vile nature. We were born with a low nature. The nature that we were born was the nature of Satan. He's had injected this body, corrupted this body. That nature had to change first before can God do anything. That's the egg stage. He says, divine nature changing your own vile nature into a nature that love God. See, with your own nature and my own nature, we could not love even God. How can we love each other? See, that's how all starts. Let me say this. Forgive, you know, in the prayer of Jesus to the disciples, that shows how to pray. He says, it was the part that says, forgive our trespasses as we want, forgive the trespasses against us. Now, what does that mean? The way you understand forgiveness and the way you forgive, to that measurement, no more. You cannot be, people cannot be forgiving you all the time and you don't forgive anybody. To whatever measurement you know to forgive somebody for your transgress, the transgress against you, one, you shall be forgiven. That's a measurement. Let me say this, we love words the same way. The amount, the way you understand the love of God is how you're going to love somebody else. You ain't going to go no harder than that. That's why we come to church. Because we want to get hard on what we are. The understanding that you have of the love of God in your life is the way you're going to love someone. No wonder the Bible said, husband, love your wife as you love your flesh. I don't like pain. I don't like anguish. I don't like, you know, I felt the yesterday, and I poked, you know, a screw went right through there. That's painful. I hate pain. Then I fell and I banged my knee and I twisted my ankle. Who loves pain? Nobody. So, my question is this. Why we try to cause pain on somebody else when we don't like pain? Husband, love your wives. Have you loved your own one? I like to eat. I like to eat good things. I like to sleep. I like to rest. You won't let your wife to rest? Go and take care of that baby. It's your turn. You know, she don't get no sleep and you're sleeping. Oh, I gotta go to work. Well, you gotta share. You know, that's free. And it's not in my notes. That's just a freebie. So anyway, I want you to come follow me. You know, to know where you are and how close you are to things. I have given you a few keys, but we will conclude everything. Titus 3:5. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasure, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. You can even love you. You can even love your brother or your sister. You cannot even love God. So something has to change. Something has to, that phase has to happen. And then Brother Brown says, the unity of one God in the one church. How can he work with you when the nature of the spirit of the devil is there? Has to be changed. We understand that. And every man born on earth is born in sin, shaping iniquity. Come to the world speaking lies. That's right. There's no one good. Just God is good. We need to understand that it was a change of nature in you. It wasn't you. Praise God for his grace. That was his work. If he wouldn't done it, I would be in the same. This is my description. Shaping in you, come to the world speaking light. That's right. So in that carnal, Adamic nature. See, when Adam fell, that was the nature. It was produced. The whole creation fell. How can a man achieve anything only by through his intellectual. Now, I told you can know of God by your mind, your intellectual. But you can get too far with that. Not by works of righteousness. Now, I'm which we have done, but according to the mercy and that save us, he saved us by the washing and the regeneration. I think that I'm in Titus 3:5. Now by works of righteousness, which was have done, that we see nobody's good. You cannot save yourself. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing. Now, that's the word. The word is that wash. By the washing of regeneration. So we are being renewed. We are being transformed by the word. That's why we need to hear the word. That's why we need to come. Because it's a washing, it's a transformation. There is a change. The word of God will change you. That's the only thing that can change you. Your intellect cannot change you. Your thought, your looks, nothing can change you. That's why I come to church, because I need change. I'm not done. He says, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So the only way that this can happen is by the Holy Ghost. Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, said the Lord. This work is a work of the counselor of the Holy Ghost in your life. All it is. This transformation will not happen without him. No, Brother Van said, but the working of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God in you. Where is the kingdom of God? In your heart. The kingdom of God in you. God sits on the throne of your heart. That's the Holy Ghost. He said, and he's in control of that room. But who's had to give him the control of the room? We have to. You know, I see the spiders, how they do that nice, you know, net or whatever you call that, that spider web. And then sometimes I used to be mean, so I used to go, boom, and put a hole. You know that spider had to stop? Because can't get no flies if you have a hole or bugs. It had to stop whatever she was doing and come down and repair the hole. Sometimes we are that way. If we are not obedient to God, we are punching holes. He had to stop the progress until he comes us and fix that. So in that little room, he's in charge. And he's in charge just as much power you are giving him to be in charge. God wants to manifest himself through you and through me. But it's you that got to give him the what? The access, the way to manifest himself through you. So I'm saying, the less of you, the more him. Does that make sense? Claro que makes sense. That's your prophet talking. But the working of the Holy Spirit in the kingdom of God in you, God says on the throne of your heart. We talked about we were lost, undone, wrong nature. Now we get the Holy Ghost. We get cleaned by the word. We start getting renewed. It says, God sat on the throne of your heart, and he's in control room. Controlling your emotions. Oh, man, that's one that I got to work on. Every time your emotion get the best of you, he's not in control. Now we're getting closer to where are we. I'm going to show you later on where that is at. That's called temperament, self-control. Ain't that part of the faith at virtue? And virtue as what? Temperance, knowledge, temperance, godliness. I'm going to show you tonight how you can tell where you are. If you cannot control your emotions and the emotion gets the best of you, you need some temperance. I show you tonight how far we are. How far? It's a cycle. He says, and controlling your power, controlling your conceptions, emotion, controlling your power, the power to kill somebody because he upsets you. You are controlling, you know, oh, but he did this. I'm going to take vengeance. Controlling the all self. He has to be in control of the all. You're still living with the all. Now is to control it. Don't control me. Control yourself first before you start controlling me. But don't try to take the little thing that the little speck in my eye. But when you have a bean on yours, see, work on yours first. Then come and tell me my mistakes and my errors. There's nobody, at least, perfect yet. It says, controlling your emotions, you're controlling your power, controlling your conceptions, and making you one with him. Okay? Now he said, in fellowship and in love. And God fills you with love. That's the end result. It's love divine love. That's what we want.
begin with love, for God so loved the world, and the end with love. Amen. That is the final goal. God is love. So what else are you going to get? Love. And you know the definition of love when you go to 1 Corinthians 13. Brother went through all that stuff. And God will fill you with love. See, the more God will fill you with love, the more love is to give. You know where you are. How much love are you giving? He says, he filled you with power. Love. Power to what? Power to control yourself. Power to control your emotions. Power to control your ideas and your conceptions. Power to do wrong and to do right. See, he filled you with power. So you know where you are because you got to think, this thing has to be growing in you. We're getting close to the transition. So if we're still having trouble with some things, then we need to ask God. I need to show me. I'm trying to show you what God's saying today. I hope this will work to help you because this is what is happening in the transition. As God starts working with you. See? That's a big one, controlling your emotions. You know what? If your emotions get the best of you, you will say something that you will regret saying. And then you have to say, I'm sorry. Yes. But the more he's in control, the less you got to say you're sorry. That's what I was just telling you a while ago. Because the more he's in control, the less you're going to offend in words or in deeds. Before you do that, you bite your tongue and you shut up until you know or you don't, even if you know. He says, the fellowship of God filled you with love. He filled you with power. He filled you with his spirit. He filled you with his own divine nature. And that's what I want to get tonight. Peter says, you know, we have exceedingly great, what? Promises. So we can what? Have the nature of who? The divine nature of who? That's where we are going. That's my vision. That is the transition to get to the divine, to be God in me. His nature. Not just God. His nature. God is love. God is joy. God is this, faithfulness. He's faithful. Yes, he is faithful. He's the faithful one. Then we start learning how to be faithful, how to love. Not in our own self. The more we let go, the more he teaches how to be what we ought to be. I need to finish. He filled with you, with the spirit will fill you with only by nature. And he changes your carnal nature into his nature. Ain't that what you want? That's what I want. I hate my nature. Low nature. I want his nature in me. That's why he's shaping me too. And that's what I want to let him do and manifest through me. He says, change your carnal nature into his nature. Then in this you become a new creation in Christ. That's what it means to be a new creation in Christ. No longer you, but he living in you. Not only living in you, but letting God manifest himself through you. Quickly. Anything contrary to the word, look, let me tell you something. Listen to this closely. This is a complete divine revelation of God. He's talking about the Bible. To have the Bible by itself, you can learn of God. But in order to know God, you have to have a revelation of the word. It says, the Bible is a complete revelation of God. His will, and the coming of Christ. See, that's all, from the beginning to the end. And everything lays right in this book completely. And if anything draws you off of that, he said, thou, that compass, throw that compass away, because it's only creed. It is only organic. It is only paper that you are packing in your package. See, the Bible is the letter. The letter we kill without the spirit. It's just paper. It's a paper. God don't want paper. If he wanted paper, we would have been done by now. We got the Bible. He wants epistles written in the hearts. He wants the word living, walking, talking. He wants himself reproduced again. Brother Branham says, the only place that they're going to see God these days will be where? Okay. So that's what I want. I want the world to see God in me. He said, you're packing in your pocket, God hanging in your room or
whatever frame or creed, you know, take those papers, you know, you got papers, you got all kind of degrees, you know. Then find the compass that sets you to the word, to the word, to the word of God. See, it is not only to know that I'm standing in the message. It's not only good to know that I got the word of God, huh? But it says, get a direction. That has to take you somewhere. If this message is not taking you somewhere, this Bible is not taking you somewhere, then you missed it. I missed it. We missed it. Let's go home. This message came to what? To duplicate, to reproduce Christ in me. But I gotta let go, and I gotta let God. I have a couple of more, and I'm almost done. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Oh, notice, the Holy Ghost is the only revealer of the divine revelation of Christ. Now, you got the word, but you need to have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will reveal you God's intentions. His will had to be revealed by the Holy Ghost. That's a transition. You can have word, but you need the Holy Ghost. The Rhema, the Logo, and the Rhema, you have to have both of them. The people that they know of God, they only got the Logos. But that can take you so far. We talked about that later on. He says, the reveal of the divine revelation of Christ. There is no school can do it. Other creation cannot do it. Can take you but so far. You can know of God, but that's it. He said, there is no school that can do it. No scholar can do it. No man, you know, love divine. We cannot do it. God is the one that gives the increase. We can water. We can seed. But God is the one that gives you the increase. He is the one that makes the change in you. We can only just teach it out. He's the word. But God has to come and shed some light on that. Give you an understanding of what he meant by that word in your life. In whatever level you are. He says, no man, how well educated, no godly, or how godly, or anything else, there is no man can do it. One more and I'm done. You can stand. And tonight I will finish the second part of this. I'm going to show you how to, the process. But here I was trying to just lay the foundation. Paul was down here in the natural realm with his PhD. See? He didn't know. He had an intellectual faith. But he didn't have a divine faith. See? There's a quite different in me having an intellectual faith than a divine faith. See, it is not your faith. It is not of you. It is of him. When he saved you, if he put that faith, who faith? The faith of Jesus Christ. That is our victory. It's not your faith. You will not save by your faith. It is his faith that he gave you for you to believe in him. You know that if he didn't put that faith, you couldn't believe? You know that if he don't pull you, draw you, you cannot come? God has to do something to cause you to come. So he injects his faith in you, and then you can believe that there is a God. Not even that is ourselves. It's a divine faith. There's where you, your Baptist friends, fail to go on. See, you can go that far with an intellectual faith. You get the intellectual faith by that. But it must be a divine revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. That's what brings the faith. When God revealed to you who he is. And that only comes by revelation. My church is edified on that revelation, not in intellectual, not in who knows or who don't know, who is more educated, intellectual. But he said, I will build my church, I will edify my church in what? In that revelation. He hasn't changed that. He says, you get the intellectual faith by that, but must be a divine revelation of Jesus Christ to you that take sin out of the heart. So that means if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're still in sin. Sin is not smoking, drinking, adultery. Sin means you still do not believe the word of God. You can. How can you believe the word of God if you don't have the Holy Ghost to help you believe? You still don't have the faith, divine faith of God. See? It is his faith. It is Christ's faith in me. Say, that is all right, but it is only bringing you, but it only brings you to the Holy Spirit. See, it is all right to start in the Baptist, you know. There's nothing wrong. You have to start that way. You have to start somewhere. But that's where it starts. It don't end until you get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is a personal experience of the birth. The new birth. Regeneration. That's where transformation starts. The transition. The changing with the Holy Ghost. However, we have to come to justification, sanctification, the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then adulthood. You know what adulthood means? That it's no longer you, but it's Christ in you. We got to get to the point where the Holy Ghost is going to go to the Father and says, it's done. Now, this is not a groupie thing. We all going to have to be in certain set. We got to get there. And the closer we get into his coming, we all got to get closer to there. The Holy Ghost is going to say, he's done. He finished all the course. He finished the race. He's done. We can graduate. He says, this Holy Spirit is a personal experience of the birth, the new birth, regeneration. See, transformation, making a new creature. That is what he's doing in Christ Jesus. He's making me a new creature. Glory, glory, glory. You know, change, change. Change. You know, I'm not the one that used to be here last Wednesday. If I am, there's something. The thing is that we see each other every week, so the changes are minute. But if you don't see me in a year, you might see something different. Hopeful. You see something different. For good, I mean. Amen. Tonight we're going to discuss this process of regeneration. Exactly how can you determine where you are. Now, there's some concepts in the Bible that we can look at. Okay? That's all I wanted to show you, the concepts. Amen. So, let us pray. Father, we thank you again. We are so grateful for this group of people that assemble here this morning, Father. Father, you are so good to us. You will never leave us. You will never alone. Father, you was always with us. Father, you teach us. You guide us, you lead us, Father, through your Holy Ghost. Father, I want to be able to yield to you. I want to be able to consecrate. I want to be able to turn my life completely in your hands. Father, I want the work that you started in my life, I needed to get finished. I know you wanted to be finished more than I wanted to be finished. Father, help me. Help me. Show me what I need to do. Show me where I am. Show me where I'm faltering, where I'm failing. Help me, Father, to just move forward, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done so far. But, Father, I want more. Until this body will change from corruptible to incorruptible, I need you. I want more and more until the life of Jesus will be seen in me. Father, I want you to manifest to me. That is my desire. Maybe sometimes I do things wrong. Maybe I fail you. But my desire hasn't changed. Because you are my desire. And as long as you are keeping me alive, as long as you are there, as long as you're still in control, Father, I might fall, but I will get up. I will get up and seek you with all I got again, Father. Thank you. Because you are a God that forgive, a God of a second chance. Thank you, Lord, because you are a just God, and you don't want no one to die or perish, but to come to the knowledge and understanding of life eternal, Father, salvation. Father, thank you again. Be with the brothers that are in Santa Fe. They're probably ready to be wrapping up services tonight, this afternoon. Bring them home safe, Father, to the journey. Mercy, Lord, traveling mercies. May the angel of God wash over them, remove any obstacle, and bring them home again, Father, if there's another service on Wednesday, Father. I just pray, Lord, that the same thing with us. Father, we need you. We want you. And tonight, Father, I'm expecting for you, Father, to do something. Something very special. Father, because we are coming together, Father, expecting to see you. Maybe we don't see you with our eyes, but with our spiritual eye, we can see you. Father, again, to you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen and amen. In the name of Jesus. you want to lead service here or not? You know I'm not a singer, so.